Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your humble host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so, so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm really excited to have on the show Ryan Tirigno. He's an indie singer-songwriter from Anaheim, California, 5 minutes down the road from Disneyland. He's been a musician since 13, a songwriter since 16, and he spent the first 12 years of his career fronting local Orange County rock bands Wester and We Are the Arsenal. On the strength of 2 full-length albums and 4 EPs, he's toured across the U.S. and Japan with stops in the Vans Warped Tour and opening slots for Lit, Angels and Airwaves, Senses Fail, Hawthorne Heights, and many others.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, man. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. So you like to gig, huh? You've kind of been all over.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long road. I'm 39 years old now. So as you mentioned there in the bio, I kind of started writing songs at 16 and just got that bug, and it has never left me. So, you know, I've been in 2 bands for 12 years, and we played a lot of shows, traveled a lot of ground.
That's awesome, man. You know, in listening to you, I have to say I'm a little bit envious and a little bit just proud, because my end goal is to be able to tour and do a weekend every month, releasing the new songs and just touring like nonstop. So I love what you've done, and I think that's hopefully what we can all aspire to be.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a little bit harder for the indie musicians these days to travel and gig anyway. You know, it's kind of not like it used to be, unless you're funded in some way or another. So, you know, a lot of the traveling now is really done digitally. You know, you spend a lot of time on the internet, on social media, things like that, to make sure people hear your music. So it's a whole new ball of wax.
I had somebody tell me this last week, and it's such a good way to put it. He's like, you know, wow, your stuff's gotten really, really good, man. He's like, because, you know, I've been doing lessons and I've been working my ass off on it, to be quite frank. But he's like, you just need more eyeballs on your stuff. And it's like so true, because you could be putting stuff out, but there's so many songs out on Spotify every day, and you could fall into the wind. You know, you got to find a way on social media or the news cycle. I think you're kind of like me, where we're both a little quirky, but you don't want to get bad press. You know, you don't want to do things that are really, really out there just to get publicity. You know, you want it to be for your music first and foremost, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, thank you for appreciating my quirkiness. But yeah, you know, it's you want your personality to come out. You know, in my rock bands, there was a certain persona that I kind of had to put on, that, you know, people would come and see me play and they'd be like, wow, I saw you on stage. You were a different person. You know, now with my solo career, where it's really just me and nothing to hide behind, I'm really just sort of trying to, you know, put out who I really am. If you came up to me on the street and started talking to me, that's exactly who I am as a musician. And, you know, if some of that's quirky, if some of that's a little, you know, lame, and I tell some lame jokes sometimes or put some weird videos up, then hey, but it's all about the music at the end of the day.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you. This is my 10th year, and I don't want to say I tried to make music people wanted. I did things that had a message for me, but it's taken a while to learn this balancing act of you want to put stuff out there, but it's got to be a little bit relatable for other people. So like, you know, last year, one of my best songs was called Father's Day. Great song, but at the end of the day, that's just not for everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's a fine line between being yourself. So I, like you, I'm a nerd, and I own up to it, the quirkiness and the, it's not that you don't care, but you stop caring so much about the haters and people that just don't vibe with you. You're just like, I'm putting this out to the world. I hope it appeals to everybody, but it really isn't, and I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. You know, music is such a subjective thing. And this is something I've been trying to get more comfortable with just in really the recent past is, you know, you will never please everybody with music, right? Everyone hears it and feels it and understands and takes something so differently from it. Of course, there's, you know, sometimes you can hit it and lots of people will, you know, congregate around a piece of music or an artist. Of course that happens. But you're never going to please everybody. So you really just have to do something that is real and authentic to you. And if it's authentic to you, chances are it's going to be authentic to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The other thing I have found too is, like you said, if you start doing things for yourself, and the mistake I made in the beginning, and I think a lot of people make, is they just think, well, this isn't vibing with everybody. Screw them. It's their problem. And they keep releasing the same, I don't want to say mistakes, but the same style song, the same lyrical content. I have come such a long way in understanding not just how to be a better songwriter, a better lyricist, a better melodies. I think people just kind of say, hey, I scream into the microphone, I'm a hard rock, and this is me, and screw them if they don't get it. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. That's all I can say.
Oh, sure. And, you know, even though I just said it is subjective and you're not going to please everybody, I guess if you are hearing continually as an artist, you know, very, very similar feedback over and over and over again, of course, you'll probably want to start taking that into consideration to some degree. Yeah. So mix in their feedback with your own authentic experience and try and find that happy medium. You know, and to kind of around these points we're discussing here, you know, with the new album that I recorded last year, that's kind of where my singles are coming from right now, it's kind of what I'm promoting, was really the first time as an artist where I kind of broke down some of these walls, you know, kind of dipping back to my band days, you know, because I was trying to put on that persona. I wrote lyrics and approached my songwriting in a very specific way. I thought I had to discuss a certain theme, and I was almost more ambiguous in my lyric writing deliberately, because I thought there was some like allure and it was cooler if people didn't exactly know what I was talking about. But I've kind of come full circle as an artist, and my new album represents this, where I just started deciding, you know what, even as a music listener, if I'm listening to a song and I can't quite understand, you know, what this song is about or what the person is saying, I almost lose a little bit of interest. Not that it's a bad song, but, you know, I started realizing I want to know what this person had for breakfast, how it tasted, you know, that level of detail. And some of my favorite artists at this point approach their songwriting in this very same way. Just this, you know, everything out on the table, you know, nothing is off the table. And it approaches like everyone's human experience in a very specific way. You know, everyone, even if it sort of stings to hear sometimes, you know, if you're singing about death, or, you know, if you are just so real where almost you feel uncomfortable singing about it, chances are you've hit the mark. Chances are, if you feel uncomfortable singing something, other people are going to be affected by that.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Tell us who inspired you musically.
So it's, you know, I can dip back to my, you know, earliest beginnings. When I was 13, it was Green Day. That's, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day made me want to pick up a guitar, and that's why I play music. You know, and throughout my days in rock bands, I was really into like the, you know, the emo pop punk, you know, boom of the early mid 2000s. So I'm really in tune with that kind of stuff. But I would say that after around 2013, when my band, my last band broke up, and I kind of started focusing on more solo stuff, I really dipped into more of a, I guess, kind of singer-songwriters, kind of solo artist, you know, almost folky kind of vibe. And that's what I kind of gravitate towards. And, you know, my biggest influences right now, you know, are not even huge household names. You know, a few of them are a guy named Rustin Kelly out of Nashville. He is one of my favorite artists. If I could write with an artist right now, it'd probably be him. He's a really, really talented dude. And I'm a big fan of Noah Gunderson out of Seattle. And in fact, the gentleman who produced my album is a man named Alex Deason. He was in a band called the Damwells for a lot of years, and he does his own solo stuff as well. And I had the joy and honor of having him produce my album because he's local in LA now, kind of by me. And, you know, I reached out to him one day and just kind of, you know, tail between my legs, asked him if he'd do it, and he did. And now I can call him a friend, and he's actually one of the my biggest inspirations as a songwriter. He's someone I would have loved to write with if you would ask me, you know, 2 years ago, who would you like to write a song with? It would have been Alex Deason, and I actually got to work with him. So that's a big, big high point in my life.
That's awesome. All right. Tell you what, tell us about the song before we listen to it. What inspired it?
So the single that just came out this past Friday on July the 7th is called I Can Still Break Your Heart. And it's really fairly simple. It's kind of along the, it acknowledges the old adage that love is a verb. You know, you have to work at love to make it work. You have to compromise. And, you know, if it's good to nurture a healthy fear that, you know, everything could blow up in your face in a relationship if you're not careful. So that's really what it is. It's, despite the title sounding almost like, you know, like I have some nefarious intent or I'm trying to break someone's heart, that's not the case. I, even though I can still break your heart and I acknowledge that, I do not want to.
Okay. Tell you what, let's take a listen to it and then we'll come back and talk some more, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go.
Face on every street corner, a million miles would never ever be enough.
Very cool song, dude. So it's kind of fun to talk to someone who is similar, you know, to me in some respects. Tell us, if you could look at the next 2-3 years in music, what do you think is going to be the biggest change in the field?
Well, I hate to jump on that the buzzword and say AI is going to have an impact, but I think AI is going to have an impact. And frankly, it's one that terrifies me as a songwriter. You know, I fear, and this is actually piggybacking onto an interview I saw recently with Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, where he was talking about, you know, AI's potential impact on music. And, you know, he was mentioning that it might not be so much even like today's current artists, people that are out there right now writing songs. But he was like, you know, artists coming up much younger, kids that are just kind of getting into music, you know, they pick up on technologies much sooner than maybe we did when we were younger, right? They got iPhones and iPads in their hand when they're 2-3 years old, and they're whizzes at it. So you just have to imagine that if, as AI and as it relates to songwriting, you know, starts becoming more prominent, why are they going to go and spend 10,000 hours learning how to play, you know, instruments and writing songs and collaborating with people when they can hit a button and it spits out a song, and they can just hit some more buttons and it tweaks it and it makes a, you know, an award-winning song. That idea terrifies me. I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but who knows?
I think it's going to be a while before it can put out a hit song, because I feel like people still, all these labels that put in a couple million to market a song, even they don't truly know. You know what I mean? We can all sit and say, hey, the melody should do this, the structure should be this, and there's rules, but at the end of the day, nobody, I think, can know. And I think it's going to be a while before it takes over what we're doing. But I do think for average music, for elevator music, for background music, if you have films, you're going to say, why should I pay that famous person $100,000 to use their song? I'm going to use this AI and it's going to cost me $100 or something.
Right.
So I do think it's going to change a lot of that.
That's a very good point. Yeah, maybe I'm old school, but I do hope that, you know, that human element in music will persevere, will fight on even against AI as AI comes back up. I feel like people want humans in their music, right? To present their music to them, to spill their hearts and provide their authentic experience. I don't think a computer can ever take that place, but hey, computers have done some pretty miraculous things at this point. So
yeah, I think it's the story, right? It's not just, if people get to know you or I, sure, they could be like, oh, that's a cool song, it's got a cool whatever, but it's the story that makes it go, I think. And marketing has a big role in it. So there's no question that these big labels, if they want to make one of these songs go, they can certainly put fire behind it. We're going to be a little bit in trouble, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as people fear. But what do I know, right?
Well, I like your perspective. I'm on your side. I hope that's the case. But, you know, other than AI, you know, it's interesting. I feel like this will also continue to evolve and change how musicians and songwriters like us, you know, operate. But just how you get your music out there, right, has changed so much. You know, compared to the fact that when I was in a band, we were burning CDs and putting them in envelopes and going and standing outside of venues and handing them out, and that's how we promoted our music in the past. You know, now, like I mentioned before, it's so much. Every artist, you know, has to be a digital marketer, and if you have your music, you know, available and you want people to hear it, you really have to learn how to use these platforms and understand analytics and all of this. And it's just something that I don't think all artists are equipped to do. And it's really just something I have been picking up day by day since I finished this album and realized this is how you do things now. So, you know, that's already changed so much. And I think it's going to continue to change and evolve. And the platforms and where we do this are going to change and evolve.
Yeah, for sure. How do you get started transitioning? Some of the listeners are amateurs or just fans. How do you get started transitioning to a professional status, you think?
To a professional status is interesting. You know, I feel like almost kind of, this is almost piggybacking on the point I just made about kind of how you need to operate as an artist these days. I think your first step, right, is you need the music, right? You need to continue to practice your specific craft and your instrument and your writing. And I truly believe that, you know, songwriting is a muscle that you need to continue to exercise. And you know, it's the old thing is you need 10,000 hours. Well, hey, you're never, if you're a songwriter, you're that 10,000 hours is not enough. You know, you need to continue to keep writing because you're going to write 100 songs and then one good one and then 50 more bad ones and then another good one.
Yeah.
So that's just a muscle you need to keep flexing. But you know, that's the advice there is just keep writing, right? If it's your craft and it should be treated as such, right? So keep writing and just continue to try and find that authentic version of yourself to a point you get yourself to a point where you don't just finish a song and say, hey, that song has the, you know, clinical structure of a song. There's a verse, there's a chorus, there's a bridge, and it's got a melody. Try and get yourself to a point where you can truly listen back to this thing and say that it had an emotional impact on you. You know, I kind of touched on this point earlier, but, you know, I think a lot of people can sit down and write what you would call a song, but that's not always going to have an emotional impact on yourself or somebody else. So I think that you're so much of the way there. If you've gotten to a point where you've written a song that has an emotional impact on you, and once you have that, it really is just about, you know, figuring out how to get that song onto tape, quote unquote, you know, an avenue to record that music. So it's in a state where it sounds professional enough where, you know, people will hear it and not think that you did just record it in a bedroom, even though you might have. Obviously, a lot of hit records are now recorded in bedrooms now. So, you know, you don't need to go into a big studio, but you need to make your music, this music you've written, presentable to a broader public. And then it's just about, you know, learning how to market yourself. And there are so many tools to do that at this point. We have more access than we ever have via, you know, organic reach that Instagram offers and TikTok offers. And I avoided it like the plague. You know, TikTok was not something I wanted to jump on at first. You know, it seemed like that's for kids, or, you know, that's where you'd go and learn how to do synchronized dancing and things like that. But no, what these platforms offer is the ability for you to publish your song and get it in front of thousands, tens of thousands, a million people without ever leaving your bedroom. So, you know, I think
advantages. Yeah, I think it definitely, I know the counter argument about, oh, you got to keep putting content out. But the truth is, yeah, there are advantages. And in the old days, someone like you could not have made an impact and slowly grown your fan base unless you traveled and you had a label behind you. And now you can do something, you know, and that's more than you could do in the past.
100%. And this is the one piece I feel like is actually very encouraging to an up-and-coming artist is I currently work a full-time job. Pays me a salary, things like that. I have a lot of responsibilities from, you know, 9 to 5. But I am able to keep content flowing, get my music out there and marketed, and as if I was a, you know, professional musician without really ever leaving my house, my office, you know. So I want that to be kind of encouraging to up and coming artists. You don't quite have to be out there in a van, you know, living off of ramen on tour for people to hear your music and for you to develop a following. It is possible via the tools you have right in your pocket, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. All right, Ryan, tell us a little bit about your website, your socials, where can people stream your stuff, buy it before we let you go here?
Absolutely. So I do have an official website at RyanTerigno.com. That's like Ferrigno, but with a T, if you know The Incredible Hulk. Might be dating myself at that point. But I am on all of the socials. You can pretty much just Google Ryan Terigno, and you'll find me on Instagram, on TikTok, YouTube. It's all there. I go by R. Terigno a lot, because I believe a young man from Italy stole the handle Ryan Terigno on every social channel before I got there. So just search my name, Google my name. And if you want to listen to the songs, they are up for streaming everywhere. I've got two singles out right now. One is called Get Lost, that came out in May. And one is called I Can Still Break Your Heart, that just came out last week, July the 7th. And those are both from my forthcoming album that will be out in the fall, which is called Alive and Well.
Awesome, man. I want to thank you so much, Ryan, for being on the show tonight. It was an absolute pleasure. Love to have you on again anytime.
Hey, absolutely, Sir Andrews. I really appreciate being on here. It was great talking to you.
You're welcome, man. And to all the fans out there, thank you for spending a little bit of your precious time with the two of us and for listening. We hope your unique story gets heard around the world too. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you all.
Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.